The following was recorded during the Newcomers Workshop in Sacramento on December 11, 2021. This recording is the first of three sections.
Hi, I'm Mary Shame. I'm a compulsive eater, and I want to welcome anyone who's new or feels new. That's me every day. And I'm going to talk a little bit about my experience with step one. And in the 12 and 12, the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, the very first sentence in the reading about step one, which is we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable with the spiritual principle of honesty. It says in Overeaters Anonymous, we begin our program of recovery by admitting that we're powerless over food. And so what that tells me is that this is just the beginning, that this is, you know, sort of like step zero is, you know, I'm tired of feeling and eating this way. And step one is, you know, I need some help. And this is where we begin. And then throughout the step in the 12 and 12 and what you hear people talk about in meetings, what my experience has been is that food is becomes less important in my recovery than the unmanageability of my life, which is what causes me to have compulsive eating, sort of the causes and conditions. And this is anything I say is just my experience, but it's also been my experience through some observation that my experience is not so different. So if you're new and you're wondering why are they talking about everything else except food, it's because the unmanageability of my life is what has created the conditions that cause me to eat compulsively in order to live in my body. My disease is a physical, spiritual, and emotional, and I hear a lot of things in meetings that help me understand the steps and how people apply them. And the best thing I ever heard in a meeting about step one and unmanageability, I wrote in a note here, it said, the monkey is off my back, but the circus is still in town. And that tells me that the unmanageability of my thinking and feeling and acting is an ongoing process, that learning how to live with this disease and have physical and spiritual emotional recovery only starts with step one. But I'm never done with step one. Unmanageability rears its head all the time in different ways and different facets of my life. And I can go back here and I can read it and highlight in green, yellow, pink, and orange and underline in different pens and listen to my fellows talk about step one. It's the gateway for the rest of my life and the rest of my recovery. So thank you for asking me to share, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
I'm Emily and I'm a compulsive overeater. So grateful to be here this morning and sharing my experience, strength and hope with you all. When I came into these rooms nearly 10 years ago, my life was absolutely unmanageable. My food was out of control, despite all day long, lifelong attempts, every moment of every day to be controlling my thoughts and actions around food. Could not do it. And one of the, probably the most, the thing that I hold nearest and dearest to my heart about this program that I've developed over the last 10 years is a great appreciation for the 9 tools of recovery. They are literally a toolbox that I can use to fix any piece of emotional IKEA furniture in my life. Any problem that I have, this program is like a formula in a spreadsheet. If I choose to plug in all my inputs into this program, I typically always get an output that's better than something that I could come up with on my own. And so today I'm really happy to talk to you about the tool of the action plan. You know, the idea of surrender is one of the overarching themes of the program, is surrendering to a power greater than myself. And to me, the word surrender kind of is the opposite of an action, right? Surrender is the opposite of doing something. It is not taking an action. And For me, I need to know the actual actions that I can take to surrender, or I'm just going to spin. And so an action that I can take and that I take daily is to have a daily plan of action. And this is a huge change for me as it relates to what my life looked like before program. And so I'll share that every day, at least for the past 2 years, minus a day or two, because I'm not a saint. I text in, email in, send in a plan of action for the day that includes not only my plan of eating, which is important, but my plan and my commitment for how it is that I'm going to support my own recovery and my abstinence today. And it's typically short and to the point. And sometimes I get a response back. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I get feedback. Sometimes I don't. But what it is for me is a tether to a power greater than myself. It's a commitment that frees me from options that might be dangerous for me when it's later in the day and I'm not as in fit spiritual condition as I typically start the days with. And so, you know, I just want to share that surrender is not laying down our, it is an action, I guess is what I want to say. And the action plan is a really easy way to start learning how to surrender. So, so grateful to be here. Thanks so much for the amazing timer, Kurt, and I appreciate you all today. Thanks so much.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to anyone who's new, and hello to all the people I know out there. My name is Carrie. I am a compulsive eater, and I've been abstinent for a little over 4 years. And this topic, my challenge is going to be how to do it in 3 minutes, because it's a huge, huge topic. So I'm talking about service. I do service so that it can keep me abstinent, but the main message, main purpose of OA is to carry the message to the still suffering compulsive under or overeater. So I'm going to go in sections. So when someone is new and they think, oh, I can't, I'll speak for myself. When I was new and I thought, you know, I have nothing to contribute. Being new and coming up into a meeting, you might hear that newcomers are the most important person here. And the reason for me is that when someone's new and talking about their struggles and their suffering, it reminds me of where I was and how, and you'll see people nod. So someone who's new, you are giving a message to us to help us with our recovery also. Someone who's new can also, in a live meeting, set up chairs, can help clean up afterwards, put out literature, talk to someone else who's new, can make phone calls, can read. On a Zoom meeting, you can volunteer to read and just to be here and to speak. There are positions, and what I found, which really helped me with saying yes to service, because I'm basically an introvert, is that all service is equal. Some positions may seem more important than others, but putting the chairs out or reading is just as important as the secretary or the treasurer. They're all really important positions. And so some of the positions that are important for meetings are someone who's a secretary who reads, or someone who leads, like today, Carlin leading this meeting. In the virtual world, another one is being a Zoom host. We have speaker seeker, newcomer greeter, someone who is someone you can call if you have questions. Someone who takes care of literature, setting up a room, cleaning up a room. Sponsors are people who help you with your steps in your program. And if you're asked to speak like today, anybody who's speaking today is doing service. For me, the best service though is just speaking with another compulsive eater, you know, helping that other person, and that person helps me. So if you want to make a phone call and you think, oh, I'm going to bother that person, you have to let go of that thought, because generally the person you're calling is going to be helped also. There are also positions in intergroup, which is where you can be a representative for a certain meeting, and you go and you're there with other people who are representatives, and you listen and you learn. And being that introvert that I am, introvert, I've been able to do that. There are also many other positions at that level. And then there's going to world service meetings. And see, I don't have enough time, but thank you.
Hi, I'm Sandy, a compulsive overeater, bulimic. 8 years ago, I walked into the Saturday morning 12 and 12 step study meeting with a desperation and determination to find a sponsor. It was if HP had been listening to my thoughts, because my first sponsor was at that meeting. When she spoke, I felt a connection and asked her if she would be my sponsor. I was very lucky that she was able to take me on and have me be her sponsee. We would meet once a week, usually after the morning meeting, and read the step I was working on and go over the writing assignments for that week. I would also text her every day with my gratitudes and food plan. It was an amazing time for me going through the initial honeymoon phase of OA and also the changing attitudes I had about food and myself. How she sponsored worked really well for me. And I was sad, quote, for myself, but happy for her when she moved away. I waited almost 2 years before I finally wised up and got back to the Saturday morning meeting and again chose a sponsor. This time, however, I thought more about what I needed from a sponsor. I appreciated how my next sponsor expressed herself in the meeting. And again, I felt that it may be a good fit. I asked her if she would be willing to discuss being my sponsor. And she was very honest in that first conversation on how she worked her sponsorship program. This time around, I was doing the steps differently by working on my spiritual program more intensively. I am now with my third sponsor, who has had many years in recovery, and I'm working the steps again a new way. And it is painful at times, but very helpful. I meet her in person, or we speak on the phone once a week and go over writing assignments from the previous week. I also text her daily with my action plan and gratitudes. I appreciate these women who have been willing to accept me as their sponsee. I have experienced much kindness, compassion, understanding, friendship, and knowledge from my sponsors. I have grown up both emotionally and mentally since my first sponsor helped me into this new life. The amazing thing about finding the right sponsor at the right time is it made me want to stay with the program even when I felt like giving up. It is up to me to really be willing to listen to the message of hope and strength given by my sponsor, because if she doesn't know an answer, she will guide me to someone who does and find out from her sponsor. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Sandy. All right, we're going to